Welcome to the Local Business Playbook. I'm Alex, and today we are diving deep into something that I think a lot of Florida entrepreneurs and investors have been sleeping on, the world of specialized industrial real estate. We talk a lot on this show about the how-to of running a business in Florida, but today it is all about the where. And I'm Jamie, and honestly, Alex, when you first pitched this topic to me, I was like, warehouses? Really? But then I started reading into it, and I could not stop. This stuff is fascinating. Right? Because we are not just talking about a big empty box with a concrete floor anymore. The standard co-warehousing model, which is basically WeWork for warehouses, that is just the baseline now. We are going way beyond that today. So what are we actually covering? Give the listeners the roadmap. Great question. We are breaking down four specialized variants that are absolutely dominating the Florida market right now. Cold storage, e-commerce fulfillment, industrial outdoor storage, which people call IOS, and bonded warehousing. These models can command rent premiums of 2 to 3 times the standard rate, and they serve tenants that a regular warehouse simply cannot touch.
2 to 3 times the standard rate. That is not a small difference. So whether you are a business owner trying to find the right space to scale, or an investor trying to figure out where the real yields are in Florida, this episode is absolutely for you. Let's get into it.
Okay, so let's start with arguably the hottest sector in industrial real estate right now, or should I say the coolest. Cold storage, and climate-controlled co-warehousing.
Ha, I see what you did there. But seriously, if you have tried to find refrigerated space in Miami, Tampa, or Orlando lately, you know it is a nightmare. The shortage is real.
It is a massive structural supply shortage. So the U.S. inventory for cold storage is sitting at about 185 million square feet, but demand is closer to 240 million. That is a 55 million square foot gap.
Wait, 55 million square feet? That is not a gap, that is a canyon. Why is there such a massive shortfall?
Because building cold storage is incredibly expensive. Construction costs are typically 2 to 4 times higher than a standard ambient warehouse. You are not just building walls, you are essentially building a giant, high-tech refrigerator.
And that is exactly where the co-warehousing model becomes so powerful. Because now, a small food producer, a pharmaceutical startup, a meal kit company, even a local florist, they can access that temperature-controlled space without having to sign a 10-year lease on a 50,000-square-foot facility.
Exactly. You might just rent 3 pallets in a freezer or a small 500-square-foot cool room. And the zones matter a lot here, because cold means very different things to different businesses.
Oh, break this down, because I think people assume cold is just cold.
So you have 4 main zones. First is frozen, negative 10 to 0 degrees Fahrenheit. That is your ice cream makers, frozen seafood distributors, frozen baked goods, then refrigerated, which is 34 to 38 degrees, the sweet spot for dairy, meat, fresh produce. Huge in Florida, obviously.
Right? And then it gets more nuanced from there, doesn't it?
It does. You have the cool or controlled zone, 55 to 65 degrees, which is essential for wine storage, high-end chocolates, certain pharmaceuticals. And then there's ambient plus humidity control. 65 to 75 degrees with specific relative humidity levels, which is critical for electronics, cosmetics, even archival documents.
That last one is so Florida-specific, right? Like, our humidity alone would destroy so many products without that kind of control. I was actually just reading about how electronics warehousing in South Florida has exploded because of that exact issue.
Totally. And for operators, the infrastructure requirements are intense. Refrigeration systems can cost $50 to $150 per square foot, compared to maybe $5 to $10 for standard HVAC. You need insulated panels, specialized vapor barriers to prevent condensation, which is a real killer in Florida, and proper drainage systems.
But the payoff on the rent side is significant. We are talking ambient co-warehousing going for around $2 a square foot per month, while cold storage is hitting $5 or $6 in Florida markets, similar to what they are seeing in LA and North Jersey. 3 times the ambient rate.
High barrier to entry, but for those who can provide it, the demand is virtually bottomless. Okay, let's move to our second model, e-commerce fulfillment co-warehousing. And this one is a step up because it is not just about renting space. It is space plus service.
Oh, I love this one. So in a standard co-warehousing setup, the facility gives you the dock, the Wi-Fi, the square footage, and you do all the work yourself. But in a fulfillment specialized model, the operator often provides the labor and the technology to handle the pick and pack process.
Right? Think about a small Shopify brand based in Jacksonville. Too big to run out of a garage, too small to hire a full-time warehouse crew. A fulfillment co-warehouse gives them dedicated inventory space and integrates directly with their online store. An order comes in, the warehouse staff picks it, packs it,
gets it on the truck, and the scalability angle is huge for small businesses. They don't have to panic about hiring extra staff for the holiday rush or the Valentine's Day spike. The co-warehouse absorbs those labor fluctuations. And from the landlord side, this model enables what people call revenue stacking. You are not just charging for real estate. You are charging per pick, per pack, and often taking a margin on the shipping labels because the facility ships in such high volume that they get deep discounts from FedEx, UPS, and DHL. That is smart business. Multiple revenue streams from the same square footage. And the whole infrastructure is built around throughput. It is not about how long the product sits on the shelf. It is about how fast it leaves. High-speed sorting areas, packing stations with scales and printers, advanced warehouse management systems that plug into every major e-commerce platform.
Exactly. Okay, now let's talk about something that might seem less glamorous on the surface, but is honestly one of the most profitable sectors in Florida right now. Industrial Outdoor Storage, or IOS.
Some people call this land as a service, which I think is such a perfect description. Basically, it is a secure, paved or graveled yard used to store things that don't need to be indoors. Trucking fleets, heavy construction equipment, shipping containers, bulk materials like lumber or roofing tiles.
And the co-warehousing spin on it is really interesting. Instead of one trucking company leasing a whole 5-acre lot, an operator takes that lot, fences it, lights it, installs high-end security cameras, and rents it out by the slot or the quarter acre. In cities like Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and Tampa, land is becoming incredibly scarce.
And zoning laws are making it harder and harder to find places where you can legally park a fleet of semi-trucks, which has turned IOS into what some people are literally calling industrial gold.
The beauty of the model is the low capital expenditure. You are not building a 100,000 square foot building. Your main costs are paving, fencing, lighting, and security. Although in Florida, you do have to deal with significant drainage and environmental regulations, making sure runoff from vehicles doesn't contaminate the water table.
And the tenant profile is super stable. Regional delivery companies, construction firms working on Florida's endless infrastructure projects, logistics providers who need drop lots for their trailers. High demand, relatively low maintenance. It fits perfectly into the whole shared economy trend.
All right, last one, and this one is huge, specifically because of Florida's geographic position. Bonded warehouse co-warehousing.
Oh, this is the one that blew my mind a little. So a bonded warehouse is a secured area where imported goods can be stored, manipulated, or even undergo manufacturing operations without payment of duty for up to 5 years. Essentially, you are deferring your taxes.
And think about why that matters so much in Florida. We are the gateway to Latin America and the Caribbean. If you are importing high-end Italian furniture or electronics from Asia to distribute throughout the Southeast, you do not want to pay customs duties the moment the ship docks at Port Miami. You want to pay when the product actually sells and leaves the warehouse,
which is a massive cash flow benefit. You bring in a large shipment, store it in a shared bonded space, and only pay the government as you sell individual units. It turns a huge upfront tax bill into a manageable incremental expense.
And in the co-warehousing context, smaller importers can share the high cost of customs bonds and the specialized security requirements. Because to run one of these, you have to be overseen by U.S. Customs and Border Protection. We are talking high-end surveillance, restricted access, meticulous record-keeping.
Which is actually a huge competitive moat for the operator. You cannot just spin up a bonded warehouse overnight. It requires federal approval and serious operational expertise. That barrier to entry lets you charge a premium over every other warehouse on the block.
We have covered so much ground today, from the freezing temps of cold storage to the open-air lots of IOS. And I think the big takeaway is this. The one-size-fits-all warehouse is a thing of the past. The future of Florida's industrial landscape is specialized, shared, and service-oriented.
If you are a business owner, these specialized models give you the tools to compete with the giants without having to own the infrastructure yourself. And if you are an investor, these are the niches where the real growth is happening in Florida right now. Do not sleep on this.
Couldn't have said it better. And if you want to go even deeper, like the actual costs of starting a logistics business in Florida or finding a directory of industrial spaces in your specific zip code, we have got you covered.
Head over to support-local-businesses.com. They have got guides on the cost to start a plumbing business, which, fun fact, often needs that exact IOS space we were talking about. And deep dives into licensing requirements for Florida logistics firms. And make sure to check the show notes for links to the latest Florida city roundups, including the booming industrial sectors in Orlando and Jacksonville. You can also subscribe and download the Florida Small Business Resource Guide at support-local-businesses.com/podcast. Thanks so much for listening to the Local Business Playbook. Keep building, keep growing, and keep supporting local.